We're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Aleph is a continuation of the curse of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is extremely frustrated with regard to the fact that his balabatim and anosos are very cruel. And we learned different interpretations going to Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Radak. Did they want to kill him, or did they just want to damage his reputation? According to most of the commentators here, they were referring specifically to the damage to his reputation by accusing him of having a relationship either with a Zoyna or with an Eishes Ish. If it would have been an Eishes Ish, he would be Chayiv Misa. A Zoyna, it would just destroy his reputation. According to the Radak, he learned that they would slander him to the king. They would tell the king that he is rebellious. He is guilty of treason. According to other commentators, this refers back to what it says in the beginning of the Sefer, where they wanted to poison him, to put poison in his food and bring about his death. So the common denominator is not good, whatever it is. Whether it's slander, zona, eshes ish, poison, treason, whatever it is, they really are seeking his harm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to him at the very last moment what they're trying to do to him. He should be aware. And when he realizes this, he curses them with the worst possible curses that he can come up with. We also mentioned yesterday in Pasuk Yitches is that part of the insults that they said among themselves is, or even they said to him, is that there will be no loss for us to, there will be no great loss for us to dispose, to eliminate Yirmiyah, because even the things that he provides, that he thinks that are necessary, are really not necessary. This that he teaches us Torah, that's not a big deal. We can find a replacement very easily. This that he gives us a prophecy, there are other prophets. This that he gives us advice, we'll find other counselors. It's interesting, there are three roles. The Pasuk describes three major roles that Yirmiyah provided for the people. Number one, he taught them Torah. He gave them a shir every day. Number two, he gave them Eitzah. They would come to him privately and ask advice in all matters of life. And number three, he would give over words of prophecy. And they claimed all three of these things can be replaced with people that are just as good as him, and we won't have the harm of listening, we won't have the discomfort of listening to him tell us very nasty things, warning us that our demise is going to come to an end very soon. And then Yirmiyah learned yesterday, Pasuk Yutes and Chav Aleph, he says to Hashem, Hashem, this is not fair. The Meshalem Ro'o Tachas Toiva. I was so good to these people, I was mispalel for them. When they had a tzara, it was I who got up in the middle of the night and said Tehillim for these people, and look now what they are doing to me. They're trying to kill me, they're trying to slander me, they're trying to replace me, and therefore I demand Hashem retribution. That's where we begin our Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Lachin, therefore, Tein es b'nehem lo ra'av. It's shocking what he says. Give over their children for starvation. I want that these people, their children, should starve to death. There's nothing that hurts a person more than to see his children suffer. Much more than witnessing one person's self suffer. A person sees his children suffer, it's just the pain is unbearable. So this is the curse that Yirmiyah wished for his balabatim, that they should suffer, that their children should suffer starvation. The hagireim al yidei cherev. This is an unusual word, because harog is normally the other way around. It's not so uncommon, but here's a very fascinating example of where you have the word hariga and you interchange two letters. If we were writing the pasuk, we would probably write it the hargame. First comes the resh, then comes the gimel. And yet, here it's the other way around. It's the hagireim. The gimel comes before the resh. Okay, we have this concept every so often where psukim benach, where the letters are interchanged. For example, keves and kesef. What is the difference between a keves and a kesef? Nothing. They're basically the same. It's a sheep. a keves. I know there is a difference. So he actually told me Rabbi Yedidya. Rabbi Yedidya Hurtenfeld told him that he wants it. Right? He once told Rabbi Belsky. He once asked Rabbi Belsky, Zichron Levracha, what's the chilik between a keves and a kesef? And Rabbi Belsky, I think, he said didn't know. And then years later, he found an answer, and he told Rabbi Belsky the difference between the two. And Rabbi Belsky was always makir toif to him. And I don't remember what he told me. He was always makir. We'll come later on, and he'll tell us. He was always makir toif the difference between these two words. But here you have another example. You have over here this word, the harga. We're interchanging the resh and the gimel. It's the same exact word, hariga. And yet the way the word is used here is vahagirein, which means to kill. Another example is simla and salma, as a garment. Sometimes it's spelled similar, the mem comes before the lam, and sometimes salma, the lam, comes before the mem. There are a handful number of words like this in Tanakh where the letters can be interchanged, the same word, and here you could add this to your collection, the hagireim, instead of the hargame. And I'm sure there must be some type of deeper meaning in why the letters here are interchanged. Ali de cheref, v'siyena nishayem shakulois ve'almanos. And their wives should be shakulois and almanos. So we'll see in a moment. Shakulos means from their children. Their children will die. And almanos from their husbands. They will suffer doubly, these women. The anshehem and their husbands. The men, yiyu haruge moves, they'll be killed. They'll die death. They'll be killed. Bachurehem, their young men. Muke cheref. Muhammad, they will be killed by sword in war. It's very, very frightening, the degree of curse that Yirmiyah is expressing against these people who try to assassinate him, who try to meshalein roha tachas toiva. The greater, more you invest in the person, the more you expect. As I told you once, Rabbi, I heard many years ago, this shir made an impression upon me from Rabbi Azriel Tauber. Azriel Tauber, he works for in Kiruv. He's a big darsh, a big speaker. So I remember he speaking. He said he was actually on Tisha B'Av, and he actually was saying that why do you find that the hatred between when couples, Rachman al-Islam, when they get a divorce, the fighting, there's no fighting like divorce court. That's the ultimate. Why is that so? Why aren't there fights between brothers to the same degree? Why aren't there fights between business partners? Why aren't there fights between other types of people, other types of relationships? And the answer is because husband and wife, they invest. There's love. They invest in each other. And the more you invest in each other, the more you expect the person to reciprocate. And when they do not reciprocate, that triggers psychologically in the person's mind a very great degree of resentment. Here I am, I invested in you, I had faith in you, I was good to you, and here you go, and you mashalim roha tachas toiva. It's exactly what Yirmi is expressing here to his balabatim. Here he is the leader of this city called Avanosos, he is their prophet, he is investing in them for all of these years by taking care of them, by learning with them, by giving them advice, by giving them words of prophecy, and by davening for them when they have difficult times. And here, how do they reciprocate? By planning his assassination. Meshalem roha tachas toiva. And this triggers a very, very deep hatred. And we see that even here, Yirmiyah, you know, you expect me, Mavarel, me, Doisav. I mean, it's very hard to understand these psukim. Go learn all of the Sifrei Chafetz Chaim. Go learn all the Sifrei Musar about the inyan of when someone insults you, be mavrel midosav. You'll hear of these stories where people that ganovim, someone comes and breaks into your home in the middle of the night and steals all of your possessions, and the tzaddik is running after them in the middle of the night screaming, Amoichel you! Amoichel you! Right? So we've been raised the fairy tale story. I'm not heard the stories of tzaddikim, and here you learn Sefer Yirmiyah, just the opposite. Yirmiyah, he's a good guy. He learns, he gives advice, he gives nevuah, he davens, and then they go and they say, oh, he was mezaneh with an eshes ish. He was mezaneh with a zayna. And what does Yirmiyah say? You reshaw him. You should all drop dead. Your children should starve to death. Your husband should be killed. This would be censored by Art Scroll. The editors of Art Scroll would censor Sefer Yirmiyah. It's really a challenge to understand that, where do you draw the line? Yeah?
How could that first rebbe allow a navi with his gadlus to say things like this? And when it came to Bilam, he wouldn't allow him to say anything against Bnei Yisrael.
Very good question. Very good. First, after Bilam was speaking against the entire Klal Yisrael.
Right, right. Okay. But
here
still,
he's speaking against a select few, just against the people of Anosos. Then you know, Hashem said to him in the beginning of the Sefer, says, "You think these people are bad? This is nothing. Wait until you go to Yerushalayim. There you'll see what rishis. You gotta learn to deal with the situation." I don't know. It is something which we discussed already in the past, and he, maybe one answer we gave was that it's not personal. I represent Hashem, and if this is how you're treating me, this is the way you're treating the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's not personal. As far as I'm concerned, I'm loyal to
business.
It's a very difficult answer. It doesn't sit well with me, that answer. Okay, but it's something you have to take note of. It's something that. All of these stories about tzaddikim running after the ganavim and saying I'm moichel you, don't believe every story you hear. Look what it says here in the text. In the text here, it's pretty serious business. Let's see pasuk chaf.
In the Hagirim, it seems to me they believe that they were going to be killed.
Of Hagirim shefoch d'mehem, I'll spill their blood.
Yeah, no, but
it's flow.
In the Tzion.
Inyan hazolo ushvich, okay.
I think it means, you know, it's not just you kill them.
Death.
You let them bleed.
Bleed out. So you're saying, the word is there's a nuance. Yeah. A nuance of expression, a certain type of death.
Right.
Hereg just means electrocution, electric share. This means we're going to let you bleed out. It's a more torturous form of death. Enochinami. Okay, let's see over here. Pasuk Lam Nafu Mitzudos David. Lachen therefore, hoil since umeshalmim umeshalmim rot hachas toiva. Since these individuals, they are extremely evil. They pay rot hachas toiva. The hagiram shefoich demehem al yidei cherev hoayev. Let their blood flow. Let them bleed out and die a miserable death. And also shakulois vialmonois. Let their wives be both. Both of these terms. What do these terms mean? Shakulos mibinehen. It means bereaved. It means it's a term which refers specifically to the death of a child. The almanois mibaalehen, and it means with what? Osi shikalti. Right. The anshehem and their husbands, ansheho almanois, and the men of the widows, meaning their husbands. Yihi meisimai dehereg. They will be killed through hereg. V'loy b'misas atzman. They will not die a peaceful death. They're not going to lie down on their bed and just die. They're going to be killed. Where are they going to be killed? In war, b'molchama. And we focus really specifically by the young men. The young men, they'll be killed in molchama. Kiderech habachudim b'lechas b'molchama. The young men are the ones who go out to war. Rashi pasuk chaf aleph v'hagiram. V'hagiram means let them die. Hoyridam al yidei cheref. It seems that he's translating the word to bring them down. Rashi in the parentheses. You don't have it? Pasuk of Aleph. Pasuk in the parentheses. Horidam al yidecha. Bring them down through the sword. Lashon eini by the sword. Lashon eini nigra mayim mugarim. Water that flows. Like you saying in the Chavi, it means over here flowing. My eyes, they flow with tears.
Runs.
Water that runs. So here it means their blood, but the parentheses, it appears to be a different interpretation. The parentheses in the Lashon of Hoirada. Outside of the parentheses, it appears that Rashi is learning like the Mitzudas. It means the flow. And the flow of Yilachar means that their blood is flowing, I'm assuming. But in the parentheses, it appears that Rashi is learning differently. It means Lashon to bring down, to cast Hoirada, to cast down. In this context, it means to die. It just means an unpleasant, violent death. The An Shehem, their husbands, Shel Hualmonosiyu Haruge Malach HaMaves. They'll be killed by the Malach HaMaves. Now, is Rashi coming to disagree with the Mitzudos? Maybe, yeah, maybe not, because the Mitzudos says they're not going to die on their own. They're going to die through someone else.
Everybody dies through
Malach HaMaves. Exactly. So what does Rashi here mean? I don't know what it means. I don't know.
They don't know here.
It means to Ruge Malach HaMaves. Okay, let's see over here. More about this misas neshika. Is misas neshika the Malach HaMaves? Listen, we don't know these things. We don't know
too
these
many things.
So these are mystical things. So let's see over here the Radak Pasuk Chavaluchin. If from Yatana Ani Rishay L'Spal Aleihem L'Ra'a. Vulchein over here means therefore it's now I'm going to pray now that I've in the previous Pasuk Yirmiyah said that in the past I prayed for their benefit, for their good. When they had tzorois, I was the first one there to be mispalel for them. Now that they paid me back ro tachas toiva, I'm going to pray once again, but this time not for their benefit, but for their detriment. Me'ato ani yishal espalel aleihem olara kevin sin shechashu lehamiseni. They plan to kill me. Ve'hagireim. Nemar loshoin vehagireim becherev mibnei hadam han nigor, because the blood that flows, it's a term which means death, but it means death through bleeding out through their wounds. Vechein yagiruhu al yidei charev. In other words, we have the word the same play. We have in Tehillim the same thing, the same word, the same form, where the gimel appears before the resh. It means death, but it means death through bleeding out. Okay, next. It says over here that they're going to be shakulois and almanois. The almanois me'an shehem. They'll be widows from their husbands. Sheyu harugei moves. Kiloimar sheyemusu ba'dever. So here Radak says they're going to die through the plague, pestilence. V'habachurim shedarkam lotzeitz b'mukhama yu muki chere b'mukhama. And the young boys, who it's their custom to go to war, they will die in battle. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Tishaman ze'okom mibotehem. Let them hear. Let a cry be heard from their homes. Part of the curse. It should be heard. A cry should come forth from their homes. In other words, what's the cry? The cry is death. The cry of death. Ki savi alehem gidud pisoim. Bring upon them a gidud, an army, a troop, an enemy. An enemy should come and just break into their home and kill them. Why? Now he's coming to explain why they deserve this. Ki choru shufa lilachdem. He's going back to explain his frustration. And this goes back to what we learned yesterday, because they dug a pit. Again, the shucha. They've dug a pit lilachdeni to trap me. And the word shucha we learn from the Gemara in Bava Kama means it's either associated with a zona or with an eshes ish. A shucha lilachdeni, upachim tamnu liraglai, and they've planted traps for my feet. In other words, they've set me up. They set me up. They planted false evidence to accuse me of being mezana with an eshes ish or with a zoyna. Okay, let's see what it says over here in pasuk habez in the mitzudos. Pasuk habez zaka zaka shever. Let it be heard from their home a cry of destruction. Pisaim, suddenly. They'll have nowhere to turn. They will not be able to protect themselves. Karu shucha. Why? This is a rightful punishment for this, that they have dug a pit. Chafru bar lelachdeni. They counseled upon me evil. Now, what the Radak Mitzudas appears to be doing is focusing on the krivich sif. He mentions all this over here in the notes in the art scroll. The answer to this is that the ksiv is sicha. Sicha means conversation. Shucha is a pit. Pit means death. So what it basically means is that these people slandered me. They spread gossip that I was nichshol, I stumbled with an eshes ish, or with a zona, and for that I deserve death. So therefore, it's a krivach siv, but both of them have meaning. It was through slander, conversation, through testimony, and therefore the punishment I will suffer will be to be cast down into a pit, meaning my death will come from this. Upachim hitzpinu rishosais lilkoid ragloi. They spread nets to trap my feet. V'kafal dabim milam shonas. See this poetic repetition. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk of Gimel Pasuk, I'm sorry, Pasuk of Beis, Kikar Shucha, Shechashtuhu Me'eshes Ish. This goes back to what we learned yesterday. Shenemar Kishucha Amuka Zona. A Zona is a deep pit. Now notice Rashi over here is quoting the Pasuk of a Zona, even though he connects it to an Eshes Ish. This is the Gemara we read yesterday. The Gemara Sakasha, Bishlan, the Man Yama, that says it's an Eshes Ish, Yechayiv Misa. But according to the Madhyama that says that it means a zona is a zona chiyav misa, there is no chiyav misa. So the answer is the Gemara is in the Chanami, according to that Madhyama, it means they wanted to actually throw him into the dungeon, into quicksand, and to actually kill him. But the Gemara also said that the word shucha as an eshes ish is also called a zona, just because a woman is a married woman does not take away from her the title of Zona when she is Mizana. Rashi over here alludes that he interchanges the Pasuk with his primary interpretation that she was an Eishes Ish. I just was thinking that maybe a Navi had a higher standard. We know that Bas Koyein Hotzi'ua V'Sisaref Yehuda was the Gadol Hadar.
She was an Arusa, no?
She was a Shomeres Yavam. No, Tamar was a Shomeres Yavam.
If she's just a Besula, then that din is not applicable, right?
If she's an Eishes, if she is a... What are you asking? She's not Chayev Misa. She's not. Tamar was an Almana. Tamar was married. She was a Shomeres Yavam.
She wasn't a Besula. Besula would not be Chayev Misa, even if she's a Baskaya.
If she's not chayiv sreifa, a bas koyin that's an esua is not chayiv sreifa. A bas koyin that's an arusa, which means she's still in a basula, she's chayiv sreifa. So here are two questions you have to ask in regard to Tamar. Tamar number one was not an eshes ish; she was an almana, heir and onan. She at most was a Shomeres Yavam, and she's not listed like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that Shomeres Yavam is also is Mamzer. It'll be a Chiyav Misa Pasha. Now that's what Pasha, whatever. But we don't pass him like that. We pass him that a Shomeres Yavam is a Chayve Lav. So there's no Misa. And even if there is Misa, even if you'll come up with a case of Misa, there's no Sreifa. So why then does it say in the Pasuk, Hotziua Visi Sareif? So either it's one of two answers. Either the Chizkuni, this Chizkuni says it doesn't mean that she was meant to be killed, to be burned. It meant that she should be branded. They would take a brand and they would put it into fire and they would put on her forehead
a scarlet letter.
Right. Zona. That's the Si Saref. Or you learn, no, they would actually burn her at the stake. Why? It's before Matan Torah. And there were higher standards. Daughter,
wasn't she Bar Shem?
She could be. She was Yehuda was the Gadol Hadar. The daughter of the Gadol Hadar is Mezana. It's such a zilzal for the mishpacha, for who she represents. The ordinary punishment is not enough. Before Matan Torah, they had discretion. The Bezdin had discretion to give people a more severe punishment than what is ordinarily.
So she paid the price of her yichus.
That's right, because she should know better. It's not just the yichus. The fact that she has this yichus automatically brings with it a greater responsibility. She is forewarned.
But if he was the God like that, how could he do what he did?
Yeah.
That's another good question.
So they
that's
for that case. She's liable to burning.
Okay, that's another issue. Okay, you're right. You're really good. Let's focus. But it does say Hotziua V'Si Sareif. If you take that approach and you apply it over here, maybe you can say is that Yirmiyo was the Navi. He was the Navi for a rabbi to be caught guilty of doing these averos. The punishment in the time of the Nevi'im was there was discretion that it was worse. It was actually Misa for a Zona. The average person is only Chayiv Misa for an Eshes Ish. For a Zona, okay, he did an Aver, you're not going to kill him. But a Navi, Yirmiyah HaNavi, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about that Bezdin, in certain circumstances, the Hayro Asha, Bezdin, if you have a generation, if Bezdin kills a person more than one person in 70 years, they're a Katlanis. You don't go kill people. Even if Bezdin knows that he's a murderer, there's value to human life, they could always find a legal loophole not to kill people. Bezdin was not very it's from Chazal, it's mashma that capital punishment is not something that basically was very favorable
on. One side of the argument.
And then the Gemara says, but let's say you're living in a dar, a generation where blood is being spilled on a daily basis. Then the Gemara says, Chazal say, Bezin can do whatever they want, even if the person is not Chayiv Misa. Bezin has a certain discretion. It's very complex in concept, and the halachas are not all clear, but it does appear from Chazal that in a situation.
They would suspend judicial process in order to keep
society in order. And that even gave them power to take the life of people that, according to the Torah, the Nachayev Misa. Ad Kidei Kach. There is such a concept. It's a very dangerous concept, obviously, and it has to be really guarded how you apply these rules. But such a concept does exist. So it's not so far fetched to say that you're dealing here with Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is the Gadol Hadar. He's the Navi, and he's been preaching for years against the people of Anasos. And now, when it's discovered a scandal. Such a scandal that the Navi is having an ASIC with a Zoyna. The Chil Hashem is so great, justice demands that Yirmiyah be put to death. And that there was nothing further from the truth than this, because Yirmiyah was a tzaddik. That's what they were trying to set him up, that he was mezane with a zona, and then Mimela, it would be proper even to kill a Navi for Zinus with a zona. Yeah.
Say that Melchizedek Melchalim was a Kohen.
Yeah.
She was a Bas.
So how was she related to Melchizedek?
She was Bashem.
Bashem. She was a daughter. Tamar was a daughter of Shem. Ah, okay. You want to say daughter? She was daughter of Shem. Yehuda was married. Took the daughter of Shem.
Yeah.
So Shem was the Kohen, and the Kohen is Sreifa, a Bas Kohen Kiseitzel is nice. But Ishti Saref, she was Mechalel, her father, and Chanami, and it could very well be. Okay, so, yeah.
How could that be? That's an awful lot of time later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Akami Boteim. Could this allude to a famous?
Yeah. I mean,
the bias,
this crime that's coming forth from the house because of Inochanami. Okay, let's see the Rad. Do we do the Radak?
Yeah.
Radak pasuk chav beis tishma zoka ki hazoka tia kishiyavoy hara pisoim. The Radak says the word zoka is associated with suddenness. That's a chiddush. You have to check out if that's really accurate with your Tanakh. I'm sure it is. The Radak says so. Throughout Tanakh, that zoka is always goes together when something happens suddenly. Kikaru shucha, Yirmiyah complains. The reason why they deserve to this punishment is because they have dug a pit. Now over here, again, we mentioned this. It says sicha and shucha, conversation versus a pit. Chasu biyod v'karbavav shucha v'hashucha v'hapachim hu samamaves. He's explaining over here shachashu lihachiloi. Okay, the Radak, every one of the commentators has their interpretation exactly what they tried to do to Yirmiyah. Over here, the Radak is wavering because the Radak yesterday learned that they tried to be malshin on him to the Melech, that he must have committed some crime of treason. Here, the Radak is going back to discuss, we mentioned the beginning of the Sefer, is that they tried to poison him, and therefore, by poisoning him, he would descend into the pit. Okay, let's go to Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Gimel, he continues the curse. And the curse goes on to say, V'yata, and you Hashem, V'yata Hashem yodata es kol atzasam, Olai l'mavis, you know all of their plans to kill me. Al tichaper al avoinam, do not forgive their sins. V'chato esam l'funach al timchi, do not erase their sin from before you. And here we come to a pasuk which is the subject of much topic in the Mefarshim, a very powerful concept, and it applies in very nogia loch lemaisa. V'yihiyu, okay, we're changing the chayu to the future tense. V'yihiyu muchshalim lefonecha, let them stumble before you, which we'll see, which means even when they try to do a mitzvah, let them stumble. Be'esapecha, at the time of your af, your anger, asay vohem, finish them off.
First,
the tzedakah. Tzedakah. Now we'll come to that in a moment. But first, before we go first, I want to take note of all the different madregot in this pasuk. We start off with do not forgive avoinam, and avoin is a sin that's done b'mezit. Then it says v'chatosam, a chait is a sin that's done b'shoigeik. And then when it says muchsholim lefonecha, it means when they want to do mitzvahs. See, we only don't get to that madrega. On Yom HaKippurim, we focus on mered, things that we do with outright rebellion. Then we do ovoin, things that we do b'meizah because of taiva. We know it's wrong, but we don't care. And then we do things b'shoigeg, we do things by acts. And here we have a different level, three different levels. We're not discussing merit. We're discussing ovoin. Then we discuss inadvertent sins. And then even Hashem, when they do a mitzvah, their mitzvah should not go to their credit. Adrabah caused that their mitzvah should result in it not being a mitzvah. Let's see the mefarshim slowly in this very, very important pasuk. Pasuk of Gimel in the Mitzvah Stavit. Rav Gimel says, you know their counsel, olai lamoves. You know good and well they tried to kill me. Asher heim olai lehamiseini. They counseled, they prepared, they plotted to kill me. Al timchi. Do not erase their inadvertent sins. Al timchoik chatosam ilfonecha. Ki yiyu kisuvim lizikaron, leman yikablu gimol. Their sin should always be remembered before you so that they get what they deserve. V'yihiyu, af be'eis yelchul lefanechem derech mitzvoisecha. The mitzudos is very clear. He's right away injecting the words of Chazal into this pasuk. At the time when they attempt to do mitzvahs, yavoi lohem michshol, bring to them a stumbling block. Leman lo yuchlu lasois kitigna, they should not do it in the proper way. Be'eis ha'pecha, bizman sh'ato koyes, at those times when you get angry, Oz asebohem nokam, punish them, bring upon them your anger. Luman yin marbe lohachil. I don't know what this means. I can't really figure out what these words mean. Anyone have any ideas what this means? Luman asebohem nokam, luman yihye. So it should be marbe lohachil. Can't figure out what these words mean.
What does the word mean?
To contain, to hold back. I really have no clue. When I was preparing, I was stumped on these words. I'm stumped on many things, but this also. Add this to the list. Okay, it doesn't sound good. All I can tell you is...
You think that,
what?
This is all as a result because of what they're plotting against the Earlier, when he was involved in Hashem, he was trying to be Milan Shifu Sunday.
Yeah.
You could interpret it to mean that, he's the Navi, he's trying to help, he's trying to bring them back to Tshuva. So it's one thing if the people think he's off his rocker, ignore him. But they're not ignoring him. They want to kill him. So that's even worse. So that's it. So he considers that even a worse madriga. Because
sure.
If they would have left me alone, I could work on it and try to be Malamut Sus. But they want to get rid of me.
Right, 100%. So you read into the words over here? You trying to read into the words?
No, I'm just...
General observation. Of course, yeah. The reason why he's so frustrated was because they're actually trying to kill him. That's right, 100%. And that's why he's issuing these incredible curses. Okay, the next words... Okay, yeah?
I don't know
about
the son.
Yeah?
Is there any reason both of them are Lashon Yochid?
Lashon Yochid?
Rabin would be Avonos Sehem. And Chato Sehem. In other words,
no, you can go both ways. I think it can be you. If I'm not mistaken, Avonam is also plural.
But for many people,
they single sin. They just try
it's
to kill
single
one
sin.
Yeah, it is one sin. So
the sin of trying to kill him. The sin of trying to kill your okay, the attempted assassination. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik chaf gimel al timchi al tehi mechuyol. Let it not be erased. Ulefishu huloshen ikeva nasan bo yud. Being that we are in the feminine form, there's a yud. Vi'afhi yisera and al timchi, there's a yud, and when it says the afhi yisera ki yud shel vatizni bam, you don't need the word. You don't need the yud. The yud is just there for the poetic form of the expression, but it's typically done when it's done in the feminine form. All right, let's see the radak. Radak pasuk of gimel v'yatah. What?
Which yud is he talking about?
The end of the chi timchi.
What should it say?
Al tim, yeah, or al Al Temach.
Timoche.
Al Timoche. With a hey at the end, I guess. A hey at the end. Or
you have to do a second person and a third person. We have.
Okay, next. The Yihiyu, we're changing the words from the Hoyu in the past tense to the future tense. The Hoyu, Kosov, Bekri, the Yihiyu, the Hoinyin Echad means the same thing in this context. To destroy them. Or maybe that sheds light on the Metzudos. At the time of your anger, let my anger be kindled against them, and I will consume them.
In other words, don't punish them when you're let. Sometimes you cool off, and then you take.
When you're fully angry.
Do it when you're very angry. When you really flare up.
And then you'll do a complete
and then you
punishment.
Really do your job.
Response to this.
What was the response? There was no response. No. There is no.
I mean,
well,
words,
we learned. Yeah,
words,
yeah.
If you have a fight with someone and you punch one and come back, punch one. He's punching them pretty hard.
Yes, yes.
So, well, what would be their response?
Well, the truth is, he's. Not even speaking to them. He's speaking to Hashem. It could very well be. It could very well be that they're not even aware that he's cursing them. Because he's speaking to Hashem. All we do know is what we learned yesterday, we learned a while ago, is that some of the people of Anassos did survive after the Chorban, because in Divrei Hayamim, when we record all of the people who returned to rebuild Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra, it mentions there was, I think, 82 people. There was a group of people who were originally came from Anassos who came back. And the Radak pointed out, wow, look at that. Even though he cursed them, every single last one of them, he said, every single last one of them should die. There's no one innocent in this entire city. Their silence is also guilt. And even though he cursed every single one of them, some of them did survive. So it must be they did tshuva. So maybe in Echnam, maybe you're right, maybe they were aware of his curse, and they did tshuva, and that allowed them to survive. Okay, now what does this pasuk refer to? This pasuk, the very famous chazal, where Yirmiyah is misspelled that a rishon, that they should not have an opportunity to, when they give tzedakah, does not actually say tzedakah anywhere here in the mefarshim that we learned, but that's what chazal interpreted as a reference to, and the reason why we refer specifically to tzedakah is because of af. Chazal say that tzedakah, there's a pasuk, it slips my tongue, is tzedakah protects a person at the time of tichbe'af. Tichbe'af is a pasuk in Bava Basra. When a person gives tzedakah, it shelters, it extinguishes anger, af. Therefore, since the pasuk focuses on be'es apcha asei bohem, and it says v'yu muchshalim, let them stumble, he's asking very specifically that when they attempt to give tzedakah, bring it about, they give tzedakah to people who are not worthy.
Fakers.
People who do not deserve the money. Now the question, then, now that opens up a very big question, is it really true that if a person gives tzedakah to a person that's not worthy, you don't get a reward? This is not at all simple. So I saw the same explanation, exactly what it says in the article, and another say from Torah HaTimim from Rabbi Yechiel Michel Stern, he brings exactly the same explanation as someone else, over here he brings it from Rechon Wasserman, and this is the idea is there are two different dinim, two different dimensions in the giving of tzedakah. Number one is your kavana. Number two, does the recipient gain benefit? Now, and the person will be rewarded for one or the other, and certainly when both of them come together. In other words, for example, let's say a person has no kavana whatsoever to give tzedakah. He is the greatest miser that ever lived. He will, under no condition will he give tzedakah. And he dies, and they discover under his mattress a fortune. The government comes, they take out his mattress, they shake out all the money, and they take all the money and they build a home for Yisaimim. They build a shelter for homeless people with the money they find in his mattress. And now for generations, people are living, being nene from the wealth. This person, according to Rabbi Chan, according to Ulam Mefarshim, will go in Gan Eden, will go higher and higher. It's because his hard-earned money resulted in other people other people deriving benefits, even though he had no kavana. I in no way in the world is the last thing that I possibly want that my money should go for someone to have benefit. It doesn't matter. There's such a concept. It's a chiddush. It's a novel idea. Because one would argue, if I don't want, if my kavan is 100% that I do not want that someone should derive benefit, and it's against my will, someone derives benefit, maybe one would argue you don't get reward. No. When it comes to tzedakah, it's not kavana that counts. You never saw a person before they write out a check to tzedakah, they say l'shem yichud, and they go to the mikvah, and they put on their talis and tefillin. You don't do such a thing. What counts when you give tzedakah is, write out the check. I don't care if you're wearing tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, or if you didn't go to the mikvah.
Same idea as by Yisker, you give the money to the Zeichanishma.
You give the money. The goal is, the person, someone should have hana. A poor man should have what to eat. A person should be able to marry off his children with menuchas hanefesh. You give the money, who cares? No one cares about your kavanas, your tifa kavanas. And it works, at kidei kach, this concept works, that even if your kavana is, I don't want anyone to have benefit. You're just kicking and screaming, I don't want, I don't want. If the result is someone has benefit from your hard-earned labor, I'm not talking about a person who steals the money, you rip off the government, chasham. I'm talking about a person who earns an honest living, he works very hard, and then his money somehow years later ends up in the hands of a needy person who deserves, he gets reward. That's category number one. What about the other way? Let's say a person gives $1 million to an orphanage and with the best kavana, and it turns out it was just a fraud. It was a front for drugs, who knows what. What? No one gained, not even one penny. Nothing. Right. The person will still go to Olam Haba. He will still go to Olam Haba because of his good kavana. Hashem does not deny reward to any one of his creatures. Even though he worked his entire life to collect, to amass this fortune, and he gave it to a world what he thought was a worthy cause, and it turns out every penny was stolen, it was just taken away, it doesn't matter. He will get reward. Al achas kama v'kama, when the person works hard and he has a good kavana and people benefit, then the reward is double. We don't know how reward works, but there's certainly going to be a reward. So here, Yirmiyah, the way the Rabbi Chanan, the way Mepharshim explained, is these people here, Banassos, were a bunch of phonies. When they gave money to Tzedakah, Yirmiyah was absolutely certain they were not giving it L'Shem Shemayim. They were only giving it, and this is how he explains it here in the Rosh, it's very interesting. Either they were shamed into giving money, like you go to an appeal, right? You go to a shul and appeal, and they start calling out, $100, $200, $300. How much are you giving? Right? The imam is shame you in front of the whole shul. How much are you giving? I have no choice. So I also give $100. It's okay. It's not my last $100. That's not a very good, then you think in your mind, do I really want to go give $100 to this cause? Not this cause. No way. What?
The cause eventually benefits.
So I don't, as far as I'm concerned, I would never give to this cause. I'm shamed into giving, so no, I'm giving. Are you going to get reward for the giving of the money? No, because I would never give to this cause.
But the cause benefited.
Oh, the cause benefited. So the fact the cause benefited, even though your kavana was shaloi l'shem shemayim, you'll get reward. Because that's the unique rule of tzedakah. If someone, and that's why a person, you know, you find yourself in such a situation, and in your wildest dreams you would never give to this cause, you should say to yourself, listen, I'll give it l'shem shemayim. I'm being shamed into doing it. I would never give, but listen, there must be something good in this organization, even though it's hard for me to believe. So I'm going to give a l'shem shemayim in order not to deny yourself that reward. Yirmi was absolutely certain the people were giving money here only because they were shamed into giving money. There was some, whatever it was, whatever decision. Or he goes on to say, he's something very, very funny, very, very strange. People, they didn't give it l'shem shemayim. They just couldn't tolerate to see suffering. There were people that were suffering, and it just bothered them. You know, like there were homeless people. it's just unpleasant to go walk down the street and to see a homeless person on the street. For me, it's unpleasant. I don't care about the homeless guy. Be homeless in another state. Go to another country, be homeless. But here on my block, I want to clean up. I want to clean up the territory. I don't want homeless people walking around on my corner. It's not safe for myself and my children. So that's why I'm going to give you a lot of money so you can go put yourself on your feet. That's not stalker. I mean, you'll get reward. Person's nene, but that's not called giving it l'shem shamayim. So Yirmiyahu, no, their machshava was 100% not l'shem shamayim, but he also knew that there are people that are going to benefit, whether you like it or not. Therefore, Yirmiyahu was mispalel Hashem, send them people that are not deserving. Let these homeless people, they have stashed away in their bank account millions of dollars. They don't need the money. That way, they'll be koreach mikan, v'koreach mikan. I already know their kavana is shalei l'shem shamayim. They're trying to assassinate me. Certainly, their kavana, if it's stuck, is no better. And just bring about that the people, the recipients, should not be deserving. So they'll get zero reward for their efforts. This is how the Mepharshim explained the Pshat in this Pasuk, v'yu mukshalim. And again, it's the reason why we're dealing with stuck is because of af. Okay, now that's one yesod. That's one very important yesod. That's a Gemara. Very popular. So there's another very beautiful vart from, I think it's the Arizal, if I'm not mistaken. He quotes it over here. And this is the source of a very popular yesod. Let me just quote it from the right person. But I'm not sure if it's the Arizal, someone else maybe, but we have a principle of there are many mitzvahs you do not have to do. You only have to do the mitzvah asay if you're in a given situation. For example, tzitzis, shluch akein. Let's talk about tzitzis. There is no chiyuv to put on tzitzis. Absolutely not. If you happen to be wearing a garment of four corners, then it triggers a requirement to put on tzitzis. That's not so when it comes to tefillin, isn't that? Tefillin, when it comes to tefillin, you have no choice. You have to put on tefillin. At least occasionally, you have to put on tefillin. But tzitzis, you can go your entire life and never put on tzitzis, and no one, you'll not be held accountable because you never wore a garment of four corners. However, a person should put himself in a situation where he's wearing a four-corner garment, so that he'll be required to wear tzitzis. Chazal say, Hashem will never punish a person for not doing the mitzvah, say, but be'idna derischa, there is a principle, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, Hashem every so often gets angry, Rahman al-Islam, and Hashem gets angry, then Hashem will punish people for not putting themselves in a situation where they would be required to do a mitzvah. So even though the person will not be responsible for wearing tzitzit, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, then Hashem will punish a person at that moment for not putting on a four-cornered garment, which would trigger the obligation to wear tzitzit. And that concept, how do you know such a concept? Prove it. How do you know? And the Torah doesn't say this. Torah says it's this very pasuk. This is so distinct a pasuk. Be'ez apicha asay vohem. Asay, it's a play on the words. Asay, at the time of your anger is the asay. The bittul of the mitzvah asay bohem is held against the Jewish people. Just take this pasuk and cut into a few. Just take these last words. This is the makar. The ace, under normal circumstances, you're not mechuyif to do a mitzvah saseh. You have an obligation to do many mitzvah saseh. But the ace apecha, at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, then Hashem is toiveya. Why didn't you put yourself in a situation where you could have fulfilled the mitzvah saseh? The aseh is bohem.
The Targum says clearly, yeah.
Another time, what does he say, the Targum?
One is Rukzach Espera Menoy.
At the time of anger, but Pagam Stama is learning on the pasuk. He's referring to the people. People over here, Beis Apecha. But if you just take these words, you cut these words out of the pasuk, and you isolate them, it's a remes, or it's a nasmachta for this principle, which really has it's very hard to find in Makar. Which Hashem did not create a world in order to harm his creatures. If Hashem did not demand of us to put on tzitzis, He did not demand of us, so we're not responsible. So you go your whole life, don't wear tzitzis. Hashem never told me to wear tzitzis. Hashem told me to wear tefillin. Okay, that I can't help. But Hashem never told me to wear tzitzis. So if I happen to wear four corners, I have to wear tzitzis. So Hashem is going to punish me for not wearing four corners, wearing tzitzis? It's very hard to find a reason why you should be punished. Chazal said you will be punished. Not stam, but be'ez apecha. Where do you find the remez, at least in the words of Nevi'im? These words right over here. Okay, let's go now to a new parak. Now, new parak, this parak, now parak Yutas, is the sequel. Or is the, I don't know, the sequel is the right word, but it's the parallel to what we learned. We learned two parakim back. We learned about this theme where Hashem told Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu, I want you to go to the base hayoitzer. I want you to go to the potter. The potter is working with wet clay, and he's forming it on the avnayim, upon the special tool, and he's spinning it. And then suddenly you're going to see something vihine, something unusual is going to happen. The choymer, the wet clay, is going to collapse. It's going to collapse. The form is going to break. It's going to be demolished. And then, what is the yoytzer going to do? The yoytzer is going to take that same wet clay and reshape it and make from it a new tzura, Plan B. And Hashem goes on to say, this is the mashal for Klal Yisrael. There's Plan A and there's Plan B. I had kavanah to make Klal Yisrael into a certain utensil, but unfortunately things did not go according to plan. It's not all is lost. There is still hope. There is still a chance to take that wet clay and reshape it and make a different utensil and make the most out of it. But that's only as long as the clay is still wet. Once the clay is put in the furnace and it hardens and then it breaks and then it's the nishas, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. The utensil is lost forever. So here Hashem says, Koyim Hashem Holecha, this is what he says, the people have reached a point where there's no hope. And the past, there was still hope. You could still do tshuva. The clay was not wet. The sins did not yet reach a point where it's been solidified, where it's beyond repair. Now I'm going to want you to go and warn the people. You're coming to a point where it's beyond repair. Koyama Hashem Holech, I want you to go. Vikonisa Vakbuk Yoitzer Choresh. I want you to purchase a bottle. A bakbuk?
No, a flask.
What? A jug. What kind of jug? Yoitzer chores, earthenware. Not glass, not metal, and certainly not plastic. Has to be made from cheres. Because cheres, there is no solution. And I also want you to take with you, I don't want you to go alone. I want you, when you go to the yoitzer, I want you, when you go to the store, when you go to the store to buy this, and then when you go, you're going to smash it, I want you to be accompanied by the zikanim. Umizigne ha'am, umizigne ha'koyanim. I want you to be accompanied by the elders of the people, the elders of the koyanim. What should you do? Pasuk beis v'yot sasa el gei ven hinom. I want you to go to Gehenna. I want you to go to this valley that was called Ben Hinnom, the place where they would worship their children. They would offer up their children to Avodah Zarah, to the Moloch, Asher Pesach Shar HaCharsis, which is located by, I think it's the Eastern Gate. It was the Shar HaCharsis. The reason why it's called Charsis is because that's where people would dump their garbage. It was later called the Shar HaAshba, the gate of the garbage, because people would take their broken utensils and that's where they would throw it. It was the dumping ground. The Karasa Shamas Advanma Ashar Dabir Lacha. And I want you, after you purchase this beautiful new utensil, earthenware utensil, after you are and you're accompanied by the Zakanim and you go to this location, I want you to make the following statement. The Amartan you shall say as follows. Shimu Dvar Hashem, listen, the words of Hashem, Malcha Yehuda, the word should be addressed to the kings. The Yoshre Yerushalayim, Koyamar Hashem Tzavokai, the location shall Hinani maybe Ro Alamokam Azeh. I'm going to be according to this location, Asher Kol Shoima. Anyone that hears what happens, Titsalna Oznav, his ears will ring. You know, the only place where this expression appears in the Kinois is in the kina of the ben ubas of Rabbi Yishmael. In the story when the son and the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael were taken captives by two separate masters, and they met each other, and they decided they're going to marry off these two children one to another in order to produce offspring, and then to sell the offspring as on the market and make a killing. And they met, they were put together, and they cried each one in the corner until the morning when they saw each other, and they embraced, and they died, and then Hashemus left them. So the Paitan who is Rabbi Yechiel, the one who was Mechaber, we don't really know much about him, his name was Rabbi Yechiel, he says whoever focuses, whoever remembers this story, he used exactly these words, Titzalna Oznaf, his ears ring in the tsar of what the tragedy of what happened here to the Ben Abbas of Rabbi Shmuel. Yan, why will such churban come to the city, to the people, people's ears will ring? Yan, because Asher Azavuni, they have abandoned me. Vayinaku es hamakom hazeh, they have made this place into a strange location. Yanaku means strange, the things which are not to be done here. In this place you're supposed to serve Hashem, not to serve the Melech. And they're offering incense to foreign gods. They don't know them. Their forefathers do not know them. And they're guilty of murder. Specifically the murder of their own children. They offer sacrifices. Now this pasuk we're going to come back to is a very important pasuk, because this pasuk we just read refers to human sacrifices. And the pasuk here is repetitive. It says, they don't know, Hema va'avoseihem u'malcha Yehuda, and that's going to refer to all the various human sacrifices in history, which we'll come to in a moment. Okay, let's just go further. Uvanu, and what have they done? Uvanu es habamos habal. They've built the bamos of the baal. Lishroif es b'nehem bo'esh, to burn their children in fire. Oilois labal, offerings labal asher loy tzivisi. Here's the pasuk I really meant to. I never commanded. V'loy dibarti v'loy ol salibi. Three different expressions. I never commanded. I never spoke. V'loy ol salibi. That will refer to the three different human sacrifices that are notable in Nach. Who are they? The king of Moab. The king of Moab, when he went to war against the Jewish people, was unsuccessful. The king of Moab was successful against all the nations except for the Jews. So his advisor said, you know why you're not successful? Because their forefather, Abraham, was willing to offer his son as a sacrifice to Hashem. And therefore Hashem loves these people. So Mesha, that's what his name, Melech Moab, says, that's why I can't defeat them. I'll do better. I'll take my firstborn son, who's meant to replace me, and I'll offer him as a human sacrifice to God. And therefore, I'll be beloved to Hashem more so than the Jewish people. And that's exactly what he did. And when he did this, there was a very, very great kitroig on Klal Yisrael. So that's one sacrifice that's notable. The second was Yiftach Hagiladi. Yiftach said that if I succeed in battle, then end the first one that comes out of my door, my way home, I'll offer as a sacrifice. And who came? His daughter. And it's very questionable what exactly happened to his daughter. Did he actually offer as a sacrifice, or was she locked up, Naguna, for the rest of her life? But it's considered to be a sacrifice to some degree, because her life was disrupted. And the third one was Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a sacrifice. But so here we allude to those three. But Asherloit Tzivisi is the king of Moab. I never commanded him to do so. V'lo Dibarti, I never told Yiftach to offer his daughter. V'lo Ol Salibi, I never told Avraham to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice. The most that I said was, V'haleyu lo'ayla. Ha'aleyu, bring it up, but do not actually sacrifice. So here comes the struggle, it's very bitter. Hashem is saying, I'm going to bring upon this city, I'm going to be an incredible korban because of the human sacrifices. I never ever wanted a human sacrifice. I don't make any mistake about it. Mesha Melech Moav, I never told him to do it. Yiftach HaGiladi, I never told him to do it. And Avraham, I also never told him to offer Yitzhak as a human sacrifice. I only told him Ha'aleyu, but not Lahakrivo. How dear then these people people take their children and offer them as sacrifices to, here we're calling it the Baal. We always associate the Ben Hinnom as the place we offer it to Moloch. So is Moloch synonymous with Baal? I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Maybe Baal, sometimes Baal is a generic term for idol worship. Sometimes Baal is a more specific. It's what's it called? The Z. Zor in the Greek. Yeah. How do you
Zeus.
Pronounce?
Zeus.
Not Zeus. Where it's dual. It's a very complicated. It's there's good and there's bad. There's toiv. There's ra. So that's some. That's how many.
Fire worship.
Okay, but Baal over here, Pashtus, is a synonym for Moloch. Okay, let's try to see what we can do over here. Almost out of time. Let's see. That's what we can do over here in the Mefarshim. Back book. Okay, back book is a modern Hebrew word. And over here, it's, you see it's in Tanakh. Yeah. A bakbuk is a tseloiches min yoytzer cheres. The way it's used here is a flask of pottery. Umizikne musav al holoich. Yirmiyah, I demand that this mission you do not go alone. Many missions Yirmiyah did were all alone. In this mission, Yirmiyah was instructed to take with him the Zikanim, and the Mefarshim of the thing was because Hashem wanted to pierce him. He wanted there to be a record. Hashem wanted the Zikanim should go back home and report what exactly happened. Go with you. Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos. Asher Pesach, I want you to go to the Melmul Pesach, Shar HaCharsis, Hu Shar HaAshpois, Haniska B'Nechemya. This is the gate of the garbage dump that's mentioned. The Chemiah Shasham Zorkim HaCharosim HaNishborim. It's where people dumped their garbage. Asher Daber Lecho Hu Amo B'Mikra Kol Shoyma. Anyone that hears what will happen to Yerushalayim, their ears will ring. Kol Hashomer Hara Hahi Yir Ashu Oznav Tenuas Haraad. He'll shake in terror. Yan Bahuasha Ozwe Osi Fayinaku Osu Es Hamokim Hazenochri Vizor Mimeni. They made this land strange for me. No one even knows that about the Ribbono Shel Olam in this city. Everyone, they only know about other gods. They did not come close to me. As if this is not my land. They don't offer sacrifices to Hashem, because it's as if this land does not belong to Hashem. But instead, Avol Kitu Bo Elohim Achirim, Heima Musav Al Vayikatu Bo Loimar, Loimar Shagam Heima Kitu Gam Avosehem. Not only are these people offering sacrifices to the idols, their forefathers did so as well. Dam Nikiim, blood, innocent blood. Dam Nikiim, Dam Hayilodim, Shegrivu Lifnei Ha'akum, referring to the children. Oilois Labal, Liois Oilois Labal, Ashloitzivisi, Afil Lufonai, Loitzivisi, Lahakibanubonos. I never commanded that a sacrifice of a human sacrifice, not even to Hashem. Below Dibarti, Afil Dibu Biomam, Bibli, Sivu Biasara, there was no Dibor, but also Lishol Kadavazos. I never had a machshava that such a thing should be done. Let's see Rashi, back book. Seloiches Yoitzer Choros, Kalimar Shal Yoitzer Shu Shal Choros. A flask that's made from pottery. Umizigne ha'am, haloich imach. Umizigne ha'am musav haloich, umizigne ha'am imach. Bring with you some people, they should accompany you, they should listen to what you have to say and what you're going to do. Okay, we're not going to have time today, but he's going to take the Baal after he makes all the announcements. He's going to take the Baal and he's going to shatter the container. And he's going to say the same way this container has been shattered and there's no repair. Once the utensil klicheres has been hardened in the furnace, there is no repair whatsoever. So too, you coming to a point beyond return. Yeah.
Were these people from Anosos or not?
Not necessarily. Doesn't say l'chore not, because it's not from Anosos. L'chore not.
He didn't like them.
L'chore is this from Yerushalayim? Because Shar HaAshpa is these gates. So these are the gates of Yerushalayim. Shar HaCharsis, Shar HaAshpa is the garbage dump. Shesham Zark. The gate, kilta of garbage. Titzalna, and Michal, what do these words mean?
Yeah.
What do these words mean? Titzalna, these French words?
What? Oh, it means to ring.
So, what's that thing called? When you have ring in the ears, what is that called?
Tinnitus.
Tinnitus. So, maybe there is some over here, there is some relationship.
Lashon. These are all automatopoeia
words.
Yeah, these are all automatopoeia words. The line is the
Lashon mitziltayim, bitziltzalei shama.
Those are the symbols.
Symbols. Vayinoku asu nochri lefonai. They've made the land strange. Okay, we're out of time, so we'll do Mirat Hashem the Radak tomorrow.